This is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Amen. Five years ago on this day, my brother called me early in the morning and said, "Dad isn't doing well," which I thought was funny because Dad had not been doing well for 20 years. My father had Parkinson's disease and had been diagnosed when I was in my early 20s. So at this point, over half my life, Dad had not been doing well. For over half my life, I had been losing my dad slowly to a very cruel progression of a disease that was not at all well understood, and the treatments were always changing. My dad was a trooper. When he was diagnosed, he called me out to the back porch and he said, "Millie, I'm going to be okay. If I can't fly, then I will run. If I can't run, then I will walk. If I can't walk, then I will crawl. But whatever happens, I will keep moving forward." It would be after his death that I realized that in that moment on the porch with me, he was quoting Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That was my dad. He was for me home. My dad for me was love. My dad for me was where love lived. My brother's tenor changed, and he said, "He isn't breathing well, and he stopped being able to swallow." "Oh," I said, he's dying." "Yes," my brother said, finally getting to the truth of it. "Yes, we think so." "I'm on my way," I said. My daughter was heartbroken. Not that her pop-pop was dying. She was only around 8 at the time. She was heartbroken that I wasn't going to be there for trick-or-treating, to see her Halloween costume, to walk through West Asheville like we had every year in her memory. But I did my best to explain to her that her pop-pop needed me and I had to go. So I got in my car and I drove as fast as I could the 4 hours to Chattanooga. When I got there, my brother and my mother were sitting around my dad, holding his hand and breathing deeply as his breathing became shallow and labored. My dad and I were adventure buddies. We traveled and we hiked together. We went on European trips and we climbed mountains I don't even know the names of. "When I can't walk, I'll crawl. Whatever I do, I'll keep moving forward." My dad was clearly moving forward toward the next adventure on his journey without me, and I was heartbroken. But I got there before he died. In the next several hours, I sat with him, held his hand, told him what an amazing parent he had been and how I was who I was today because he loved me. My dad, for me, was where love lived. As he took his final breaths, it was just me and him in a dimly lit room on Halloween. In his final moments, I was holding him and singing to him, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. Praise shall always be on my lips, for God has been so good to me. And then he took his final breath with me holding him, just like he held me when I took my first breath. Taste and see. God has been so good to me. There can be no grief without first there being great love. Today in our gospel, Jesus continues to have difficult conversations with the Jewish leaders around him. Throughout the scriptures, we hear stories of the Pharisee and the Sadducees and the scribes all coming to Jesus to trick him into saying something wrong, to admitting to thinking he is God, into saying he is king of the Jews. And this conversation today is another one of those moments for Jesus. And it is the last one before the final conviction by Rome, the final moments before they condemn him once and for all, the final moments before his death. After this, they dare not ask him any more questions. But here, they ask him one final question. Jesus, which commandment is first of all? Jesus says, "Hear, O Israel, our God is one. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." And he continues, "The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Hear, O Israel." Jesus answers the question with a prayer, Shema, the ancient Jewish words, the words all Jews must speak, regardless of their sect or degree or their place in society. All Jews must say these words upon their rising and upon their lying down. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God." Jesus is quoting Moses. The Shema prayer comes from Deuteronomy, which we just heard moments ago. As Moses is leading his people from oppression to liberation, he says to them, "Hear, O Israel, love. This is the commandment," says Moses to the Hebrew people he was leading out of oppression to freedom. "Keep moving forward," he said, "and take this commandment with you. Wherever you go, keep it in your heart, bind it to you, wear it on your forehead." The Hebrew people were fearful and grieving when Moses spoke these words, because even though they were moving toward freedom, they were not there yet. And they were grieving their homes, and that which, even though it was oppressive, had become familiar to them, even in the land of Pharaoh. Now, they had no place, no land, no home. So Moses gives them this commandment, "Hear, O Israel, love. Take love with you, bind love to you, wear love, keep it in your heart." And now, in Mark's gospel account of the life of Jesus, Jesus speaks these same words to a grieving people. The scribes and the Jewish leaders are grieving. By the time this gospel gets put into written words, the Jewish temple has been destroyed by Rome. The temple, where all burnt offerings are made, where all sacrifices are shared, the temple where for the Jews love lives, has been destroyed. But Jesus, from his brilliant and generous and kind spirit, has a most amazing pastoral moment with these leaders, who for years have only been trying to trick him. But he sees their grief and that they are lost. And so the good shepherd does what a good shepherd does, just like Moses. He guides them home. "Hear, O Israel, love." In this deeply pastoral moment, it mattered not if you were a Pharisee or a scribe or a Sadducee, because in this moment, Jesus brings them all home to the beginning, the root of all of their faith, which, as it turns out, is not a building or a temple, but is what is in their hearts. Jesus brings them home to love. When Jesus answered well, the scribes said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said, 'He is one. Beside him there is no other.' And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. This love is much more important, realizes the scribe, when he is cared for by Jesus in this moment. When he listens to the Shema, O hear Israel. When he is called back into his oneness, he realizes, even in his grief for the temple, the only place his people have ever known where they could bring their burnt offerings and share their sacrifices, even though that is gone, even in his grief, he is reminded, hear, O Israel, love. And that, he then knows, is so much more important. Upon hearing this wisdom from the scribe, Jesus responds, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Jesus, in turn, blesses the scribe with these words, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, says our Holy Scripture. Nothing can separate us from love. Not the Exodus, not the exile, not the destruction of the temple, not even death. Bind it to you. Wear it on your forehead. Keep it in your heart. When we embody love, nothing can separate us from love because it is within us. We are distinctly one through the process of loving. 5 years later, I still miss my dad. I miss being able to go to him and see him in his body, the temple of the Lord. But I don't live in that grief because that is not my home. When I can't walk, I will crawl. Whatever happens, I will keep moving forward. We all have grief, but there is no grief without there first being great love. Cornel West says, tenderness is what love looks like in private. Justice is what love looks like in public. Tenderness and justice. When my dad was diagnosed with Parkinson's, even in his fear and grieving, he offered me a pastoral moment on the porch when he quoted Dr. King. Whatever we do, Millie, we must keep moving forward. My dad quoted Dr. King because my dad was tender and he lived a life where in public he was seeking justice. He fed the poor and he loved God with all his might. And he loved me. And now, as I keep moving forward in my life, I honor him by loving God and loving my neighbor through tenderness and through seeking justice. And while I can't share with him sacrifices any longer and can't take him burnt offerings, love is so much more important than all of that. So keep moving forward. Bind love to you. Wear love on your forehead. Keep it in your heart. We are one people, united together for one purpose, to love. And when we move forward with love, we, all of us, are not far from the kingdom of God. My dad taught me that. Hear, O Israel. Amen.